Welcome to Healthcare Rounds, the podcast serving you the ins and outs of health policy and business topics, as well as our take on the rapidly evolving healthcare delivery ecosystem. I'm John Marchica, founder and CEO of Darwin Research Group and host of this podcast. To learn more about us, go to darwinresearch.com. In our first story, community providers form Independent Cancer Care Network. Three large cancer practices have teamed up to create One Oncology. Announced Wednesday, One Oncology includes Tennessee Oncology, New York Cancer and Blood Specialists, and Memphis-based West Cancer Center, comprising more than 225 providers and over 60 locations. The new company is being infused with $200 million in funding from New York-based private equity firm General Atlantic, and will be technology-enabled by Flatiron Health. One Oncology's president and CEO is Tracy Ball, formerly CVS Health's executive vice president of health plans. Other leaders include David Chernow as board chairman, Phil Watts as general counsel, and Robin Shaw as chief development and marketing officer. The company is headquartered in Nashville, Tennessee. Ball said, "Cancer is increasingly being treated like a chronic condition rather than a terminal diagnosis. Working together with world-class oncologists, we will drive the change that Community Cancer Center needs through continual learning, creative and smart evolution, and a collective desire to positively impact the lives of every person touched by cancer." Here's our take. In one view, the merger is about survival, about community-based practices remaining independent, staving off takeovers by larger entities or avoiding the need to shut their doors because of financial difficulties. That's the picture painted in a recent release of the 2018 Community Oncology Alliance, or COA, Practice Impact Report, which monitors data on practice closures, hospital acquisitions, and corporate mergers. Since 2008, according to COA, 1,653 community oncology clinics and/or practices have closed, been acquired by hospitals, undergone corporate mergers, or reported that they are struggling financially. Now, we don't know how that compares with other specialties, but we're aware of a broader trend of physician practice consolidation. Often these mergers escape the ire of regulators because they're among relatively small groups. It costs more to run a practice today than it did a decade ago. Think technology, increased support staff, declining reimbursement, and alternative payment models is some of the reasons why. A 2016 Milliman study commissioned by COA showed that independent community cancer practices delivered about 50% of cancer care in 2014, down from 84% in 2004. According to Milliman, the shift from community practices to the more expensive hospital setting cost Medicare about $2 billion in 2014 alone. Tennessee Oncology is one of the nation's largest community-based cancer care specialists. The deal, in a sense, is a way for the Southern powerhouse to expand into the New York market. Whether or not you view this as a merger of equals, look for One Oncology to expand into other markkets in the future. That $200 million in funding will help it get there faster. California Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones filed suit against AbbVie, alleging that the drug maker gave illegal kickbacks to physicians to prescribe Humira. In court filings, the state alleges that AbbVie systematically and repeatedly has violated the Insurance Frauds Protection Act by providing kickbacks to healthcare providers throughout California. The case is supported in part through documentation provided by Lazaro Suarez, a registered nurse who worked for AbbVie via its subcontractor, Quintiles Transactional Holdings. Humira is the world's best-selling prescription drug with $18.43 billion in sales in 2017. Here's our take. Regardless of what AbbVie did or did not do, or whether the company is guilty of breaking any laws, this case is important for pharma to pay close attention to. At issue is AbbVie's use of nurse, quote, ambassadors, who are assigned to patients prescribed Humira, AbbVie's blockbuster biologic for rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, and about eight other indications. These ambassadors provide patient care, pharmacy, and insurance authorization assistance, help with paperwork, and other services. Now, pharmaceutical companies such as Merck and Bristol Myers Squibb have been providing grants to fund nurse navigator programs for years. They provide real value for patients and, by extension, physician practices and hospitals. But these are arm's-length transactions, offered under unrestricted grants, and are often deployed in resource-strapped communities. The navigators serve a more general role and are not tied to any one product or company. In AbbVie's case, the suit alleges, the ambassadors were exclusively linked with patients who received Humira. Court documents further state that the information provided to patients was unbalanced, downplaying the risks and, quote, trained to tout the good, unquote, of Humira therapy. Moreover, if some of the other allegations in the suit prove true, such as paying for gifts, trips, and patient referrals, AbbVie is in really hot water. We'll just have to see how the suit plays out. In a post-ACA world where we're all trying to extract more value from our healthcare dollar, pharma is looking for novel ways to add value to what it's offering too. An ambassador or navigator-like program may be an in-kind gift, but it has the potential to improve patient care and reduce costs elsewhere throughout the continuum of care. Now, a cynic might say, and we hear this all the time in executive interviews, that pharma can increase its value today, right now, by lowering prices. We're not going to touch that debate. How many billions of dollars it takes to bring a drug to market, return on investment, and the like. As an industry, pharma has tried to justify its pricing practices, but hasn't made that argument effectively with consumers and policymakers. As Congress, HHS, and other constituents debate updating the Stark Law to allow for tighter relationships among providers, these kinds of pharma initiatives should be in the conversation as well. If pharma wants to provide meaningful services to providers and patients beyond the prescription, it should be able to do so ethically and legally. The rules of the road in the age of value-based care need to be clearly spelled out so that there's no confusion as to what's acceptable and what's not.
Here's what else you need to know.
The U.S. Department of Justice has cleared the pending merger between Cigna and Express Scripts. Cigna said the companies have also obtained clearance from insurance regulators in 16 states, and that they are working constructively with regulators in the remaining states. Cigna President and CEO David Cordani said, quote, "The value that we deliver together will help put our society on a far more sustainable path, one that helps healthcare professionals close gaps in care and supports our customers along their health journey," end quote. The companies expect the deal to close by year-end.
The new Apple Watch Series 4 includes an electrocardiogram sensor that will alert users if their heartbeat is irregular. When he announced the Apple Watch Series 4 at an Apple event on September 12th, Apple Chief Operating Officer Jeff Williams said, quote, "This is the first ECG product offered over-the-counter directly to consumers. You can now take an ECG anytime, anywhere, right from your wrist," end quote. The new Apple Watch also has a feature that detects falls and offers the wearer the option to make an emergency call. If no movement is detected after 1 minute, the watch will automatically place the call.
CMS has proposed a rule to remove, quote, "unnecessary, obsolete, or excessively burdensome Medicare compliance requirements," end quote, for hospitals and other healthcare facilities. The agency said the updates would save healthcare providers $1.12 billion annually. CMS Administrator Seema Verma said, quote, "The changes we're proposing will dramatically reduce the amount of time and resources that healthcare facilities have to spend on CMS-mandated compliance activities that do not improve the quality of care, so that hospitals and healthcare professionals can focus on their primary mission, treating patients."
Cigna announced the launch of Cigna Ventures, a corporate venture fund that will focus on early-stage innovative healthcare companies. Cigna said it has committed $250 million of capital to the fund, which will focus on companies in three strategic areas: insights and analytics, digital health and retail, and care delivery management. Cigna has already been collaborating with five venture capital partners in addition to financing or investing in Omada Health, Prognos, Contessa Health, MD Live, and Cricket Health.
Einstein Healthcare Network and Jefferson Health entered into a definitive agreement to merge, affirming a letter of intent the organizations signed in March. In a press release, Einstein and Jefferson said the new entity would have the largest number of medical residents and fellows in the Greater Philadelphia area. The merger is subject to regulatory approval and customary closing conditions.
Several healthcare industry leaders announced a framework for an alternative payment model for addiction treatment and recovery. The Alliance for Recovery-Centered Addiction Health Services includes Remedy Partners, Levitt Partners, Facing Addiction with NCADD, the National Council of Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, and other healthcare organizations. The Addiction Recovery Medical Home, ARMH model, incorporates aspects of fee-for-service, episodes of care, quality adjustments, and shared saving payment models, promoting, quote, improved integration of treatment and recovery resources with corresponding financial incentives that benefit all stakeholders, end quote, the Alliance said in a statement. At least two pilot programs will be launched in 2019.
In collaboration with Amazon Web Services, Merck and Accenture announced that they are launching a cloud-based informatics research platform. The new platform will create open, industry-standard application programming interfaces for core research functions. The company said, quote, the platform will allow life sciences researchers and informatics professionals to quickly aggregate, access, and analyze research data from multiple applications.
Geisinger, Kaiser Permanente, Johns Hopkins Medicine, and about 30 other institutions have established the Coalition to Improve Diagnosis. According to the organization's website, the coalition was created to bring awareness, attention, and action to the problem of diagnostic error. Dr. Mark Graber, president and founder of the Society to Improve Diagnosis in Medicine, said, quote, physicians excel at diagnosis, but errors or delays in reaching the right diagnosis still create harm, and we can do better.
Ascension's TriMedics signed a definitive agreement to acquire Aramark's healthcare technology business for $300 million. TriMedics provides medical equipment management programs to more than 1,800 providers, including all of St. Louis-based Ascension's healthcare facilities. Aramark provides similar services to about 500 healthcare providers nationwide. The deal is expected to close by the end of the year.
Henry Ford Health System has named Richard Chip Davis to take on the role of CEO at Henry Ford Hospital, replacing Dr. John Popovich Jr., who retired earlier this year. Davis will also serve as Senior Vice President and CEO of the system's South Market. He will join Henry Ford in November. Currently, he is President and CEO of Sibley Memorial Hospital, which is part of Johns Hopkins Medicine. R. Milton Johnson is stepping down as Chairman and CEO of Hospital Corporation of America, HCA, at the end of the year. He will be replaced by HCA's President and Chief Operating Officer, Sam Hazen. Former U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Dr. David Shulkin is joining Sioux Falls, South Dakota-based Sanford Health as Chief Innovation Officer and Strategic Advisor.
From all of us at Darwin Research Group, thanks for listening. Please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Healthcare Rounds. If you have a topic you'd like to see covered in a future episode, please email us at podcast@darwinresearch.com. And if you haven't already subscribed to our weekly strategic brief, go to darwinresearch.com and subscribe today. See you next round.